Welcome to the Holden Village Podcast. Holden is a community of education, programming, and worship located in the remote wilderness of the Cascade Mountains. These snapshots provide a glimpse into the learnings taking place in our community. Let's tune in to this week's highlight.
Well, I'm John Lauber. I've worked in historic preservation for about 30 years, and I have a long history with Holden Village. And I'm up here to talk with Chris and Harrison in an effort to get this thing launched with the porch restoration.
Hi, I'm Harrison Goodall, and I'm an architectural conservator. What does that mean? I've just had a lot of experience and opportunities to work on buildings that have rustic architecture. I really have a love of working with log buildings. That is probably one of the flags that waved to ask me to come look at the porches and the rustic architecture of Holden Village.
Hi, my name is Chris Gustafson. I am serving the village this summer as the porch restoration lead. I have 10 years of experience running a small business emphasizing in historic preservation trades and window restoration. I have a long experience with Holden Village coming as a little child, and as well as volunteering through the years.
So what's the porch project, Chris?
So the porch project is addressing a lot of the issues of deterioration of the certain components of what these porches are composed of, the log ends, the guardrails, the substructure framing, the stairways, and the handrails, and all these features that creates the porch as a whole. What I'm doing is to supervise and manage what needs to be done to restore and preserve these porches in a historically sensitive fashion.
I want to get into a little bit of the qualifications that deem it historical.
Okay.
John, I thought you summarized that really well.
Holden has been identified as a historically significant place by the U.S. Forest Service as part of their responsibilities under federal law. So there's a regulatory burden put on the agency to take care of historic properties, and to do that, they have to identify historic properties, and to do that, they need to figure out what's historic. And for that, they use the National Register of Historic Places established criteria, beginning with a property generally has to be 50 years old. And it has to have a strong association with an important event. In the case of Holden, that would be the mining history, with an important person. In the case of Holden, the most obvious is James Holden, who started the whole mine enterprise. It has to have some association with architecture or engineering. And in the case of Holden, we have an architect-designed rustic-style company town, a complete set of buildings, or have an association or ability to yield information. And the broader Holden area has not only the town site, but there was the remnant of the mill for many years. A lot of that's gone now because of the remediation work, but also Honeymoon Heights and the Winston Camp, which are now archaeological sites, but have the potential to tell us a lot about how people lived as the mine was being developed and as the mine operated. So that's how it was determined that this is a historic place. As for why Holden Village has undertaken preservation work, there are three things that we're looking at. One is we have a regulatory responsibility. The Forest Service is legally required to take care of historic properties. Holden is helping them with that process by doing the physical work, the maintenance, the repair. So we have a regulatory responsibility. We have a philosophical responsibility. Holden is all about environment and about sustainability and about stewardship. We have been given a place. We are temporary custodians of this place. One of the things that I look for when I come up here is the lectern in the village center, which has a legend on the front that says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." And to me, that summarizes a little bit of the preservation ethic up here. We have this treasure. It's an officially designated treasure. It's in jars of clay. The buildings are fragile. The buildings are susceptible to damage and deterioration. So we have a treasure. It's in jars of clay, and it is our privilege to be able to care for those buildings and pass them on to the next generation. There's also a practical component. Okay, you've got a collection of historic things. They've got some damage. How do you take care of those things? And the rules are a little bit different for historic buildings. It's not desirable to go in and wholesale replace portions of it. It's not a remodeling project. It's to try to replicate, to duplicate some of the craft skills that went into it. The Forest Service required that this place be built in a certain way to respect its physical surroundings. It's not an accident that this style was used here for these buildings. The style uses materials that are harvested here. They're not imported. It's not highly manipulated materials. You go out and you cut a tree down and you turn it into a building.
Harrison?
Yeah, it really is just like a treasure that we have that was given to us, and are we going to take care of it? So what we're looking at is a whole collection of buildings that are tied together in a village that are providing this whole character-defining area of rustic architecture. And quite frankly, there are few places of seeing this kind of collection so densely together and remotely identified in a village. This is a gem. We deserve to leave this for people in the future to be able to enjoy just as well, but also to look back on. Now, the other thing is that this style of architecture is wonderful, but we're likely not to have anything like this in the future. This is a one-of-a-kind type of architecture. We don't necessarily know how to replicate all of this, but also times have changed. And so this is a picture of the past, and we deserve to take care of it. And one way we can do that is by doing preventive kind of nature. Looking at what is likely to be happening in a deterioration process, and then immediately or as soon as we can go into a process of addressing those problems.
How can preservation also take into account things like ADA accessibility or environmental sustainability or things that might not have been important in the past but are important now?
That's one of the really interesting challenges about being in this field. Historic buildings are best preserved when they're used. And when something is used, it has to be adaptable to new uses, because oftentimes the use that generated the building has changed. Within the field of historic preservation, there's a lot of literature, a lot of experience, a lot of solutions developed for things like ADA or accommodating ways to use energy, mechanical systems, floor plan changes. All of those things are part of the field, and they're design challenges that are really interesting to work on, to come up with a way to make a building accessible that doesn't destroy the visual integrity of the building, but that really opens it up for use by anyone. When that's done well, it's a very satisfying enterprise.
Where is the wood, Chris, coming from?
I mean, a lot of it is native within just a couple miles from the village. We are so fortunate to be in this climate to have such a diverse amount of tree species, from Western Red Cedar to Engelmann Spruce to Douglas Fir to White Pine and Lodgepole Pine, and just these beautiful forms of vegetation that we're able to handle and manipulate to create such a beautiful piece of architecture and craft. And I think that's just such a powerful thing in historic preservation, when you have the capability of collecting these resources in an ethical manner that has a very low impact and the minimal level of processing and pollution. The carbon footprint that we create here in the embodied energy of what we use to preserve these historic structures is far more efficient and lower than what you could get from the hardware store and what is usable. Things are shipped from Chile halfway across the planet for 2x4 framing that you buy from Home Depot to build a house. That's not done here. It follows the fellowship of what we need to do to treat this precious planet that we live in, and how we respect the rivers and the air and the animals and the land and the soil. I feel so fortunate that the wood comes from this valley. I got to work with the logging team to select the trees to be thinned from the forest, not clear-cutted. We selectively thinned these trees that were prescribed for wildfire fuel reduction. So not only are we trying to use what's local, but we're also trying to be stewards of the forest to thin out the vegetation to reduce a disastrous fire that can occur and has occurred in this valley numerous times. That in itself is something that you can't buy outside of this place. That's an experience that I will keep for the rest of my life, that I will never get to experience possibly anywhere else in this place that is so special to my heart. So there's not just the economic and the environmental value, but what feeds people's souls that come here and gives us something that, that money could never offer them. Yeah, that's where the wood comes from.
That's great. I think that's good. I mean, you have other things to add?
I think going back to the association to caring for your teeth as is an important thing to think about as we are dealing with historic buildings. What's the connection between the two? Well, if we brush our teeth on a regular basis, then we're trying ourselves to keep decay from occurring within our teeth, and we want them to be in good condition for a long period of time. Well, we could relate that to a building. Maybe we're not going to brush our buildings, but we certainly can clean them. We can look at them in a very careful way every month or every year and inspect them, see what's going on with them, and get on top of any situations immediately of what degradation is occurring with them. One of the things we don't want to do is lose our teeth. Then we have lost everything we have with a building. And so you could make that comparison of, yes, step by step, you take care of it on a periodic basis and it will last longer and less problems will occur along the way. I think in a simple way of just saying, if we care for the buildings in a periodic way, we're not likely to have major deterioration occurring within the building, and therefore to be able to save not only the fabric, the materials, but also the workmanship and the pride that went into that building.
And really at this stage, we're replacing porches. We've gotten to that point.
No. And that's one of the things that I think
that's still restoration, even if you're replacing it, but it's in the same style.
Well, but it's very selective, careful restoration. And that's why it's great to have Chris here and great to have Harrison. I think a lot of people thought about this porch project as take the fronts off the buildings and build a new porch. After spending a couple of days with these guys and looking at the specific problems on Lodge 4, for example, it's very selective replacement. It's repair of what's there. It's not a reconstruction. It's not a remodeling project. It's keeping as much as you can of the original material with some specialized techniques that have been developed largely by Harrison that cause very little disruption to the overall building. You don't have to tear the whole thing apart to restore it.
And the mine built the buildings, you said, and that was, in a way, maybe over-engineered, helped most of the structures last really well, isn't that right?
Yeah, the chalets and the public buildings, the hotel, the VC, the school, Agape, were designed by an architect from Wenatchee. But he did the elevation drawings and the floor plans. The working drawings and the construction was overseen by mining engineers. The lodges were completely designed by the mining engineers. All this stuff is just built to death. you know, partly by necessity. You're in an area that gets 300 inches of snow a year. That's a lot of weight to put on a building. But that dictated the shapes of the roofs. It dictated you got to cover the porches so people can come and go in the wintertime. But you start looking at these buildings and sort of figuring out how they're put together, and it's massive timbers and it's full dimension, 3-inch wide rafters and spaced maybe a foot apart instead of 16 inches apart or whatever. But it's just, these things were built to last despite the fact that Howe Sound came here thinking they had 20 years worth of mineral mining. But these buildings were built to withstand the forces of nature. The result is they're here 84 years later.
One thing I wanted to say, and I think this resonates with a lot of people that will hear this podcast, is that for me, I personally in my heart have two homes. One is Astoria, Oregon, where I was born and raised and where my family homesteaded and where I teach every year for historic preservation. The second home is here in Holden Village. And when I see my home in a state that it's in, my heart starts to cry. And I want to do something about that. I want my home to be complete. I want my family, which is this entire village, to be safe and comfortable and to look around their home. And it's not just one building. It's the whole village is our home. And we need to take good care of this place because we live here and we are together. And those porches, so many experiences from the people who have come to Holden Village has always had a special experience on these porches. They in themselves are a sacred space. I think that these porches and all the other components associated with the village, it's extremely important that we take good care of this place because we all love it dearly. And we all want to come home to see a beautiful place that we can be proud of.
Really nicely stated, I thought, Chris.
Yeah, and sort of associated with that is, there are times when I am asked, why are we preserving? And sometimes what comes up is pride. And it's pride in many levels. Pride by the people that are caring for these American treasures that they are the steward for. And therefore, they're going to no ends at all of just caring for them and getting back a sense of pride. I have to say that my engine runs on pride. And it's what excites me. It's what I think that I'm making a contribution to a very special thing that people into the future will enjoy, will understand, and maybe it will give them a picture of the past. Using this as an example of, if you drive through the countryside and see an old barn, in all likelihood, you start recreating or creating your own story of what was in that barn or why that barn was there or what was going on at that period of time. It becomes almost a story within a visual. And so wouldn't it be nice to leave many of these treasures for the future people that are here?
One thing I'd like to talk a little bit about is, why has the Porch Project taken 20 years? And I think there are a whole variety of reasons. I mean, Holden is a place that is transitional every way there is transitional. I first came up here when I was in transition and spent a year up here just trying to figure things out. But it also means that there is a continuous change up here in terms of who's here, the duration of time people are up here. People are here for a year, they're here for 3 weeks, they're here for 5 years. So continuity is one of the things that's really hard to achieve on a big project. And I think that made it hard to kind of get this project done. Chris says it's home to everybody. We're all house blind. You move into a new house and you look around and you think, boy, I got to do this, 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 and this. And then a year later, you did that and you still got cardboard boxes in the living room that you haven't unpacked yet. There are a lot of specialized skills involved in this and specialized knowledge. It's not even just the skills. It's how can you preserve something if you don't know how it's put together, if you don't know how to use epoxy, if you don't know how to cut a saddle joint in logs. Those things made it difficult. It's going to be expensive to do this. even though the materials for the wood and so forth comes from the area, there are still things that have to be brought in, and they all cost money, and Holden has many, many demands on its funds. And so this is one of those demands, and it's a big project. So to get the 24 buildings completed is going to be expensive and time-consuming. We rely heavily on volunteer labor, and people come up here with greatly varying levels of skill. It's one of the charms of Holden is that you're allowed to come up here and find yourself, experiment, learn a new skill. One of my favorite quotes about this place is that efficiency is not a core value. And in a way, that's really a thing I love about Holden, is it's not all about the bottom line or doing it perfectly, but that makes it hard to do a big project that's very complex and has a lot of pieces to it.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.